Tweak, tweak, tweak. It's the news, according to me. Well, good evening, everyone. It's it's 8:22 p.m. June 9th, Wednesday, 2021. Or you could say it's Wednesday, June 9th, 8:22 p.m. on 2021. Or you could say it's 8:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. There's a lot of ways you can say that. But I just said it my way. Because that's the way I am. I say it my way. Anyway, say it my way or anyway. Any way you say it, it's my way. Because it is the news according to me. It's not the news according to you or any, you know, other faction involved. This morning's show was, well, that's interesting how this has not updated. Oh, there it is. No, it's not, still not updated. Well, that's great. The technical difficulties never end here in this vast array of technology, technocracy. Anyway. The interesting thing here, a lot of noise in this place. I have I don't have a cup tonight. I do not have a cup. I have a bowl. And in that bowl, there's some chocolate ice cream. And the green grass grew all around and around, and the green grass grew all around. For those of you who are older than dirt, you remember that. But those of you who are not, do not remember that song, probably. You probably never heard that song. It's something we used to sing at summer camp. You know, that's that thing you go to in the summer. And you don't take a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones when I went to camp. We had to walk to summer camp. Uphill, 3 feet of snow, and about 20 below zero, both ways. And we had to stay there for 6 years. It was more like an internment camp. That's what they called it. I'm one of those crotchety old guys that always talk about these kids don't have anything. These kids don't have anything. So I guess let's get on with some news. I got some news headlines here, I guess I do. It sounds like about 70, as of this afternoon when I heard about this anyway, there were about 76% of the ballots had been recounted. And I guess my understanding is there are three other states now that want to do this. Now it's going to be interesting to see how this count ends up being. How it ends up coming out. I don't trust it anyway. Now, I've also heard that there's a lot of news coming from, by the way, I'm going to eat my chocolate milk here, or chocolate. It's turning into chocolate milk. It's chocolate ice cream with peanuts in it. Yeah, it's good stuff. Now I got a mouthful of chocolate ice cream. With nuts in it. So now you gotta listen to me eat that stuff. It's great, isn't it? It's good stuff. I broke a nail earlier today. Kind of bugging me. Speaking of nails, construction costs are up, and there's no reason for it. When I go to the big box store, I go to, I have a Lowe's here really close to me. I don't have a Home Depot anywhere near me. Well, it's 30 minutes away. That's too far to go. It's just too far. Actually, depending on traffic, it's actually quite a ways away, but there's a highway that I can get on. It's actually quite a drive. But I can get on there. There's also Menards. It's about the same amount of time. It's a lot less distance, but it's about the same amount of time. There's a Lowe's about 3 miles from me. I don't really particularly care to shop at any of them, actually, just because they're They're all crazy. But anyway, the for some reason, lumber costs have gone up, and I have never really researched this to find out why. But all I've heard is that there's this tremendous amount of explosion, and like 280% construction costs, lumber costs have gone up 280%. Now, I'm hoping that that is not going to be the case for very long. And I'm hoping it doesn't affect everything within at the Lowe's store. I'm almost afraid to go over. I haven't gone over there since all this happened, since this whole lumber thing has gone up. It's been about 4 or 5 months since I've even been in a tool store like that, like a Lowe's or a Home Depot or Menards. I haven't even been to one. And I don't plan to, because I'm afraid I'll have a heart attack when I see the prices on stuff. I was watching this guy the other day. He was building some forms for he's putting in some concrete. It was a concrete fire pit in his backyard, and he's building this really immaculate form for this thing. And he was doing a really awesome job. This guy usually is a woodworker. He does a few things with concrete. Occasionally he'll do like a concrete table. He's one of those creator guys on on YouTube that has his own channel, and he always does projects, shows everybody how he does it. And he was doing this little project where decided he was going to pour some concrete outside. First time he'd ever poured concrete outside. Of course, he's a woodworker, so he was doing this immaculate form made out of wood. The only thing he didn't do was put a draft in the center portion of this mold. So he had to tear it apart to get it out of there. Now, for those of you who don't know, a draft is like a little bit of an angle to it so that you can pull it out, kind of like a cork. Corks have a little angle to them, so when you push it in the bottle, you can pull it back out again because once it releases, it pops out. So anyway, he didn't do that, so he had to tear this inside part apart. He was hoping he'd get to save it and use it for more things, but he made it in this middle section in sections, like four different pieces, so he could hoping to possibly take it apart and pull it out that way. And he didn't allow for any. He did put like a mold release agent on it though. So that was very helpful. It came apart. Once he got it apart, it came sliding out of there. He got one section out. The rest of the sections came out pretty well. However, in the midst of he went to the lumber store. He was kind of narrating, voicing over his own the work as he was doing it, showing the work he was doing in the shop, and then he was like voicing over, which I prefer to watch those types of shows. The guys that are just videoing the work that they're doing, and then they're giving like an explanation of what they're doing as a voiceover kind of thing. Because the voiceover quality, the recording quality is much better. You can understand what they're saying. You can also, they can make comments about as they're going along. They can make comments on what they're doing rather than trying to concentrate on what they're doing and making, the edit looks so much better. So this guy, he has like, I don't know, 5 or 6, 2x4s, 8 foot long, 2x4s. Going to cut them all down into little pieces so they can make this form. And he comes and he says, I went to the lumber yard and I bought $2 million worth of about $2 million worth of 2x4s. I'm sure that's the way it felt. And that's why I do not want to go to the lumberyard right now. I'm concerned. I was talking the other day about how maybe I wasn't talking about that on this channel. I guess I wasn't. That was something else. I have a tendency to not straighten things up so much. And organize things and make them all look nice because usually when I do that, a big catastrophe happens. I don't know. Every time I have done something where I get it fixed up exactly the way I want it, then it all falls apart. It catches on fire. Somebody runs over it with a truck. Something happens. So I've been reluctant to straighten up my... I've got this little facility where I have my recording studio area, and then I've also got... And about half of the facility is recording area, or, you know, business area type stuff, where I do video and audio stuff. And the other half is... it's all... Basically, it's like a shop, like a giant maker shoot studio on steroids. And I've been thinking about like cleaning this whole place up, getting all everything working properly, and then like renting the space there, like having like a tool area where everybody can come. People who don't have laser cutters and 3D printers and CNC equipment, CNC routers and lathe. Drill presses, planers, all the stuff that I've got. They can like have a little club there. People can, you know, join. They can have a key to the place. They can come in and use the facilities there, you know, for like $1 million a month. It's not going to be cheap because it's my stuff. You know, come in and play with my stuff and not have to pay for it. So... I've been thinking about I've been kicking that idea around in my head. I don't like the idea just because of liability issues and all the other stuff that you got to go along with. It'd be great if everybody knew everybody and nobody was going to sue anybody. That's just not the way it happens. So I don't think it's going to happen. But I would like to get it all straightened up and get it organized so that I can actually, you know, like maybe even do some videos and put up some cameras. I found these pretty decent little cameras that work pretty well for online streaming and recording. And I've got, you know, all the software to do all that kind of stuff. I could actually set it up out there and just do like a multi-view, you know, multi-recording type thing. Record, you know, from like 10 different angles. And then just, you know, run them all at the same time. Use Final Cut Pro and do all the editing in real time or on the fly. Make that work. I think that'd be kind of cool. And I could do I could do occasional shop videos. Just different projects, different things. And so I've thought about doing that. But I'm not sure it's, you know, first I got to get the whole place organized. And it's not organized now. And I've got so much stuff. My problem is I have this major weakness. I buy stuff. I don't have any place to put it. And it's not that it's stuff that I won't use. Well... Usually when I buy something, I buy three or four of them. And, you know, that's because I have to have one, you know, especially if it's a small tool, I'll get one for the house because I have a shop at the house here. So I have to have that tool for the house. And I don't want to have to haul it back and forth to the office. So I get one for the office, the shop, the other shop. And then I start thinking, you know, it'd be nice to have one of those on the motorhome when I'm out someplace and I might need that tool. So I get one for the motorhome. And I, of course, when you're out on the boat, you have to have tools on the boat. So I have to get the tool. So a lot of times I'll get not just one. And then, of course, you want to have a spare because you just never know driving around in your truck or your car. You might need one on the in there too. You just never know. And so needless to say, I typically, when I buy one thing, I just go ahead and get five or six. And then, you know, you might want to give one away, so you get a couple more. I never give anything away, though, so that's not with my tools. Unless it's junk, and I'll give it away. If I break it, then you can have it. Well, not even then. Even if I break it, you can't have it. Because it's my broken tool, not yours. So there you go. Anyway, so... Sorry, I've got something wrong with my throat here this evening. It seems to be a little rough. I don't have my tea with my honey and my, what do you call that stuff? The, yeah, whatever that stuff is. I'm going to see if this will work better. No, that's not working. Yeah. I'm just going to turn this off. This is probably going to be annoying. Yeah, so you're going to hear all that background noise now. Yeah, we're not going to do that. So we're just going to do this. So in the news, I wanted to talk about a couple things. One of the things I wanted to talk about was this epic troll that Matt Walsh did to AOC. It was epic. And so AOC once again puts on this big production number, goes down to her grandma's house, I guess, and she tells her, she talks about how she's going to have this they're going to make it this she's living in squalor down there. At least that's what she would lead us to believe, that her grandma was living in squalor, something, I don't know. And so she's talking about it, and her reason for going down there was that she wanted to do this as a publicity stunt. She didn't say it that way, but she wanted to go down there and raise awareness so that the government would step in and help these people. Well, you know, the government doesn't just, you know, money doesn't just grow on trees. Somebody has to pay for it. And so the Matt Walsh, you know, he was concerned about her grandma. So he said, let's just see what we can raise. Let's start a GoFundMe account or whatever it was, some kind of a GoFundMe type account. And he, in 10 hours, they raised $100,000. In 10 hours. The family found out what was going on and they refused the money. So they closed down the charity. Now, you have to ask yourself why. To me, it seemed a little bit... It really just kind of poked the whole thing right in their eye, in my opinion. Oh, there's a need. Oh, look, the American people... who are so racist, stepped in. And of course, he took a lot of flack for this in the regular media. Oh, he was the bad guy in this whole thing because he raised all this money for AOC's grandmother. So he's the bad guy, and she's still living in her condition. It was real money. Real money that people pledged. If they would have accepted it, who knows how high it would have gone if they'd have let it keep going. And here she is having to shut it down. Well, because she didn't want her to be taken care of. Now, I guess AOC owns a Tesla. She's either leasing a Tesla or she owns a Tesla. And she has like two apartments now. One of them's in D.C., and we're talking in areas that are not cheap for rent. In fact, she was complaining when she first got into Congress. She was saying that the Congress needs to have some kind of a stipend. They need to have some kind of housing allowance because the housing is so high, it's so expensive. Yeah, that's what you need. Yeah. What you need is a tent. I'll pay for a tent for you. You can stay in that. If you can't manage your money well enough, if you can't manage the money that you make, as a congressman, for the rest of your life. I mean, this lady needs to be voted out. She's now campaigning for other people as well. This is how this is going. And it's really getting the insanity. I'm just going to say it. It's the stupidity is glaring. When you have some of the most ridiculous comments, the most ridiculous ideologies, and the lengths that they will go. Remember, AOC was the one who went down to the border and she did a photo op, not anywhere near where the children were that she claimed were in cages. I took a picture of her in her little white outfit all white, standing there by a fence, crying. Bent over crying. She was so appalled by what was happening inside. Come to find out, she was at it was a parking lot. There wasn't anybody around. She wasn't anywhere near the facility. How many times do they get away with this stuff? They do this stuff all the time. And like I said, it is political theater. It is a production number. It is literally theater. Joe Biden, many of the campaign events he had were so well produced, so polished, that it became extremely noticeable for anybody who's been in the industry for any time, any length of time. The camera work, all the stuff that was happening, the edits, their ability to make it look like there was this huge number of people there. And if you took any moment to step back and look at what was going on, you'd realize that all the cars were the same. They were the same brand. All different colors. And nobody in them. And yet the horns were honking. You had cameras on booms going up and down, this nice editing, and it's all smooth and polished. Folks, that doesn't happen in a live event. He didn't stutter or stammer one bit because it was all edited. And they pulled it over. They pulled it over on people. It's never ending. Just read a Newsmax has a title on one of their videos. It's the Harris Biden Amateur Hour. I think it's Chris Salcido. And it's I would say that's exactly correct. These people are incompetent and unprepared, ill-equipped for this job. Unbelievably. They are completely inept. And it's not, I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that to be concerned. I really am concerned. One of the reasons that I'm most concerned is because we don't know who's running the show. Who's really running the show behind all this? Because it's not the people we see. They're not the real leaders here. They're not the ones coming up with policy. They're not the ones. They're following an agenda. And that agenda is, who knows who's behind all that? I really don't know. It really is a scary thing. So, as we move forward here, I was just, what was that thing I was talking about a little bit ago? When I first started into this whole process, into this show, I was talking about lumber prices. There are a few baseline durable goods and items in the country that we depend on and rely on that kind of form the foundation of our economy. Probably the biggest one is the cost of energy. Gasoline. Heating fuel for our homes. Electricity. Those things. And the prices on all those things are rising. On the heating and the energy sector. The next thing that's important, of course, it's, you know, everything depends on the energy that we have to move things around. You know, the truck drivers and mostly truckers are the ones moving everything around in the country. I mean, there's rail and shipping and some of those kinds of things as well, but It is by far trucks that get things moved around in this country. I could be really wrong. I'm not looking at any statistics. I just know trucks are rolling 24/7 and trains can move a lot of stuff, but they don't move it very fast. Trucks are on the road. You know, you can sit on a railroad track and watch truck after truck after truck go by before you'll see another train. The the lumber industry depends on energy. The food industry depends on energy as far as farming goes. So everything kind of has that baseline there. And then the other things, you know, the lumber for housing and for shelter, for construction, for infrastructure, if you will, is heavily dependent upon energy as well as the food industry. So lumber is important. The food is, I would say, probably secondary to energy in terms of what's important to keep people fed. And lumber and construction are probably right up there in the top 10. The entertainment industry is at the bottom. And we found that out when we talked about non-essential workers. All of a sudden, the entertainment industry shut down. They found out real fast they're not essential. They're not as important as they thought they were. So we have all these things, and they're all rising in costs. At the same time, we have labor costs going up because we have to pay people more to come to work because the government is paying for people to not work. That's by design, in my opinion. They're trying to drive up the cost of labor. That way, when we look at the minimum wage of $15 an hour, it doesn't look like that much. When McDonald's is paying $25 an hour to get you started, just to start. But all of a sudden, that becomes a non-livable wage now because it costs $25 for a Happy Meal. Do they even still make Happy Meals? Is it just like for a value meal? Yeah. So we have all this happening. It's all culminating around these people who are completely inept, have these weird ideologies, much like AOC with her grandma. It's craziness. Now, at the same time that all of this is going on, we have there's one other thing I was going to talk about, and might as well get to it, because I'm not exactly sure. Not sure how long this show is going to be able to go. We have a situation in Chicago. 58 people this last weekend were killed. Were shot. I'm sorry, shot. I don't know how many. I think 12 were killed. There are pockets of violence breaking out in this country that we need to talk about because there's an ideology right now. Now, it doesn't. This kind of stuff doesn't happen overnight. Typically, when someone comes up with a weird ideology and it starts to fester, it takes on an incubation period of time. So all this rhetoric that we heard over the last 4 years, all of the rhetoric about racism and everything that's happened in the world, and how the white man is the evil person and is responsible for all the evil in the world. This is all beginning to start to fester and start to boil. And I don't think that the people who are behind all this rhetoric or who supported all this rhetoric and repeated all this rhetoric much like VP Harris, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And they shouldn't stop. They're not going to stop. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep. She was talking about the rioters, not the protesters. All of a sudden, she wants them to stop. And again, like I said, you know, in one of my other shows, she was repeating herself several times. She just kept saying that phrase. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And they shouldn't stop. And they're not going to stop. Because that was the buzzword. That was the thing she needed to say. So she repeated it seven or eight times because she has no originality. She has no personality. She has no creativity on the spot. She's not thinking on her toes. She's reading the narrative and just towing the line. So she, you know, she says all that stuff, and you have all these people who are promoting this kind of thing, supporting it and encouraging it. At some point, it reaches a boiling point. It has there's like a tipping point. When all these things that you thought were, you know, just ramping up the rhetoric and getting people on your side, and all of a sudden you realize it's consuming itself. That's what ends up happening here. That's where we're headed with this. And it will get to the point where white people will not trust people of color. Because they're not sure whose side they're on. They're not sure what they're going to do. Not sure how they're going to act. There will be an undermining of trust between people just because of the color of their skin, because of this rhetoric that's going on. And what I mean by that is this. One pulls up to a gas station. I don't know what it transpired and what was said. All I saw was the security video. So who knows who said something or what was said or what happened before this all happened. Regardless of what was said, the violent reaction that ensued was not justified by any means. I can say whatever I want to you. It doesn't give you the right to attack me physically. Unless I'm threatening your life, and there's an obvious way I'm threatening your life. There's some kind of visible force that I have that I can. We're not talking about institutional power. We're talking about deadly force or force that could hurt you. That would give you the right to attack me if I'm threatening you that way. Now, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was being said. I don't know what. Obviously, it wasn't justified, but I have no idea whether it was provoked or not. But this man beats her, and nobody helps. Nobody tries to stop anything. We see police officers being beaten in the street. Nobody steps in to help. We see, now there's been some reports that firefighters and ambulance personnel, EMTs, have shown up to events where they've been called in to help. And they get pushed back. That's putting it nicely. Because it's too threatening of a situation to be involved in, to be around. This is, how does this end? And when does it end? What has to change for this to end? At what point will they be satisfied? Say, okay, it's over now. Because there are some people, they're not even all people of color. This is people, in fact, I think the worst ones are the people of academia who are the woke white folks who seem to be pushing this ideology of us against them, and they want to be that the people of color are completely oppressed and have every right to be violent, to be unruly, and they're giving them license to do so and convincing them that they're right to do so. Now, not all of them are going to listen to that. Don't get me wrong. But what is the number? What does it take? What is going to be the end of this? Where are we leading this to? I again contend that forgiveness is the only way out of this. The only way to turn this around. And it's going to take, I'm just going to say, it's going to take a revival of the Spirit of God convicting men's souls to realize that we are all one and the same at the foot of the cross. I know some of you don't probably, maybe there's people out there that don't want to hear that because you're not a believer, or you're not a Christian, but you don't believe that in Messiah. You don't believe, Jesus was, that Yeshua was the Messiah. And that's fine. But one of the things that he taught, I think that you probably would have a hard time disagreeing with, and that is that we need to forgive each other. Because we will consume ourselves as a society in hate and retribution and vengeance. At some point, it's got to end, and you just have to lay it down. Everybody's been wronged in one way or another. Everybody has been. I guarantee you. Everyone has failed. Everyone has not lived up to the standard that they themselves ascribe to. We need to give each other grace. We need to show mercy. And we need to forgive each other for the wrongs that we did and the wrongs that our ancestors did. Because the tit for tat, just putting it lightly, is not going to end well. It is going to continue to escalate. And I'm telling you, the people on the left depend on it. They depend on the tension and the rhetoric and the turmoil because they need a crisis. They need to keep the crisis going because they want to be the ones that have the solution to the crisis. And the solution is a totalitarian collective government. Call it what you will. Socialism, communism, whatever kind of ism it is, it's collectivism at its root core. And it is a ruling class oligarchy that turns into a totalitarian society, leader society, with this faux election thing, that just like what happens in Russia. How has Vladimir Putin won every election from, how long has he been in power now? How many presidents have we had since he was elected? Elected, and I use that word very loosely, elected as in Joe Biden kind of elected. And no, I'm not giving up on that. I'm not letting it go. And I believe that there are a lot of Republicans now that, even in the establishment, that are, now that it's all kind of passed over, they're okay. They're like, okay, well, now we need to get people confident in the voting system again. A lot of Republicans were disenfranchised this last time. And if we don't show up at the polls, they're going to lose. And they don't want that. So all of a sudden, they're trying to make it sound like it's credible now. We're going to come up with some new rules. And we're going to make it credible now. The other thing that's back in the news again is the January 6th event. And they're continuing to blame. And every time they talk about it in the news, the deadly attack on our nation's capital on January 6th. The deadly attack on our nation's capital on January 6th. Who exactly got killed? Ashley Babbitt. She got killed. Was she doing something wrong? Probably yes. Did it deserve to be shot? No. I don't think she deserved to be shot. I frankly do not believe she deserved to be shot. She didn't have a weapon. They could have been repelled without somebody stepping up, shooting one shot into her neck, and then stepping away. If your life is really threatened, you're not going to just shoot one shot. That's just ridiculous. It's asinine. And I've heard people try to defend this whole thing. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, well, she deserved it. She got shot, yeah, because... And these are people on the right. No, she did not. That was not justifiable force. And this idea that somehow they were attacking democracy, that our democracy was hanging in the balance that night. And now you have people saying that they're afraid. They've seen some rallies where people are running around with flags, and it's scary because they're running around with flags and they're waving them. They're like, as if to say, this is their country. Oh, well, whose country is it? And then you have an ex-Marine who sees a flag laying on a highway, a rainy highway. He stops and gets out of his car on a busy highway and runs out and retrieves the flag. Because guess why? Because it's his country. Kudos to him. Because that flag does mean something. Now, I have friends who are in the religious community who do not. And I'm not a big flag waver. Okay, I'm not a big patriotic type guy. And I'm don't take that the wrong way. I'm definitely a patriot, and I'm patriotic for our country. But I'm not. But I also realize that it's about the individuals in the nation, not about. I think that the whole idea of patriotism sometimes gets a little bit misused and misunderstood, which is why I hesitate to say that I'm patriotic. In the traditional sense. So I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to go down that rabbit hole, and I have a lot of explaining to do on that one. So as we look at this, the craziness around us, and the way they're going after this January 9th thing, and they want this commission to, which is nothing, this Don't kid yourself, folks. The January 6th Commission, much like the 9/11 Commission, to look into and investigate everything that happened, all the things that led up to January 6th, the deadly insurrection, is nothing but another Trump investigation. That's all it is. They are still afraid of this guy. And they're afraid of his followers. These people are living in a fear bubble that they have created for themselves, that this orange man bad is this monster that they can't get along with. And they have completely convinced themselves, and they have this strange, bizarre derangement syndrome. And it really is that. I don't know how else to explain it. But I digress. I need to finish my ice cream, which is now more like a milkshake. So, having said all of that, I want to encourage you tonight. There are a lot of people out there who have their head on straight, who understand what's going on. And I'm encouraged by a lot of the things that I have seen in the news lately, amidst all the craziness. There's a new generation of people that are rising up, and they're taking a hold of what's going on. They're paying attention, and they're waking up to what's happening to their country. So be encouraged. I'll be back early in the morning. Folks, have a great night. God bless. Take care.